I want to say a word of real appreciation to Riverwood Church here and all of you as we get to know you more and more. I think this is a third time we've been able to visit with you in the last 2 years. And we had friends, Alan and Diane Powers, who came from our congregation down to you. And then we have gotten to know you as a result of that, and it's been a great joy. And I'm delighted to see the way God is blessing your pastor and your congregation. And I believe that's going to continue. I love to see the way your pastor led your worship service this morning. He makes me feel like I'm right in the house of God. I love to feel that way. Let's read Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 25, and you'll see how we've been building out of those Old Testament texts toward this passage about the work of the Holy Spirit. Wonderful things the Holy Spirit does. And now you're going to see another aspect of that, which you will also see applying to you personally as we develop this text. Let's pray briefly before we read, shall we pray? Our great God and Heavenly Father, how we praise you for the way you have called us out of darkness into your glorious light, the light of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world and who will be the light of heaven itself. There will be no need for the sun in that city because Jesus himself will fill it with the radiant presence of his glorious person. So may we delight in the fact that he is present with us even now. And as the Shekinah glory hovered over ancient Israel, may your presence be deeply sensed and realized among us today as we first study the Word of God and then come to the communion table. Bless us, dear Father. As we make these acts of worship before you, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Matthew 1:18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph was her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home to be your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home to be his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. In September of this year, my wife and I had the pleasure of traveling to Potsdam, New York, where I was doing two conferences, interestingly enough, and among the Episcopalians, the conservative wing of the Episcopalians. And while we were traveling there, we stopped by Niagara Falls. Just couldn't resist doing that. And we saw this magnificent display of God's creative glory as the water comes down that magnificent river, cascades over the fall, the chasm into the rocks below. A splendid display of the glory of God and all of his wondrous ways of working among us. Now we saw another quieter kind of glory displayed as we saw the leaves turning. That's just the time when they turn up there. These reds and yellows and oranges brightly contrasting with the green pines and evergreens up there. A beautiful painting that only God could present to us. Now this morning, we have stepped into a text which is God's making, God's painting. He gave us the Word of God here. And I encourage you to bow before Him. Here in this text, the Holy Spirit is at work. And we're stepping into the world of the Holy Spirit at work. And I challenge you to bow before the Spirit of God in worship. Bow to the Holy Spirit for giving us Jesus Christ. Because that's what we see Him doing in this particular passage. Look again at verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. And then down to verse 20. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Here is God at work. You know, I must confess, after all those 43 years in the pulpit in Huntsville, Alabama, I don't think I often enough challenge my people to bow in worship to the Holy Spirit. He's God, just as the Father is God and as the Son is God, and He deserves our worship just as much. And He is prominently set before you here with an invitation to bow before Him. All right? Here is a breathtaking wonder of the work of the Holy Spirit, far surpassing natural things like the mere Niagara Falls or the mere change of the color of the leaves. Here's the Holy Spirit doing something so marvelous, so wonderful, that we stand in awe and must worship Him, our God, the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to notice the Holy Spirit here and how He gave the Lord Jesus Christ to us. And I'm sure you good Presbyterians won't be surprised that I found three ways that that happens here. Okay? And my first point that I want to make is to bow to the Holy Spirit for His work in the Virgin Mary. I'm talking specifically about the work of the Holy Spirit in the body of the Virgin Mary. I've just read texts that describe that to you, and I want to add one more, and you can look at it if you wish, in Luke 1:35. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. This is the Gabriel speaking to Mary. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Here's the fact. The Holy Spirit worked miraculously in the body of the Virgin Mary to present Jesus Christ to us. Now, there's another text in kind of the theological side of the Apostle Paul, Galatians 4:4. But when the time had fully come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. And you see, what we see here is, this is a reflection of the fact that God had been planning from before the foundation of the world to do this amazing thing. And then just when the time was perfectly right, He did it. Through the body of the Virgin Mary, through the body of this woman made under the law, He gave us His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it should not surprise you that God should do such a thing as this. After all, men do such amazing things, and God had before this even given us Isaac through the body of a woman who was 90 years old, Sarah's son, Isaac. And it was no more common for a 90-year-old woman to have a baby in those days than it is today. It was a miracle. And so here's another miracle of God parallel to that. But I refer to those men who do such wonderful things. Doctors can replace hearts and knees. And I've got one threatening to replace my left hip in a few weeks here. So I hear the voices of these men eloquently addressing the wonders of what they can do in us. And if mere men can do such things as this, we should recognize that God can do such a miracle as he's describing right here. My second point. Bow to the Holy Spirit for his work not only in the body of the Virgin, but as it is described here, in his prophets. Now that's also right here in the text. Look at verse 22. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophets. And as Peter has instructed us, holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And I love the way the NIV translate that. Holy men of old spoke as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. It's a beautiful way of describing it, you see. Because the Holy Spirit came down into their hearts and into their minds and imaginations and carried them into the wonder of what was going to happen by God in God's working. And then they gave us scriptures like these, and that's what's being described in that text. Now, see a parallel here. I want you to see the parallel between the work of the Holy Spirit in the body of the Virgin and then in the prophets who wrote the scriptures. As the Holy Spirit brought the Son of God from the body of the sinful Virgin Mary. Now, I'm not saying she was more sinful or any particular sin described here about her. I'm just saying, as the rest of the fallen race, with us, she was sinful. But through the body of the sinful Virgin, the Holy Spirit could bring forth a perfect, sinless Son of God and Son of Man. For he was both. And you see, that is parallel to what the prophets were doing, because as the prophets, from their sinful minds, brought forth perfect words, this book, you see, out of the Virgin comes the perfect Son of God. Out of the minds of these sinful men comes the perfect Word of God, so that we can come to the Scriptures and read it and know that every last line of it is perfectly true. And we can trust it with all of our hearts, just like we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. What a wonderful pair of things the Holy Spirit has given us. Jesus, our Savior. The Scriptures, the perfect Word of God. You see, as we read in Hebrews chapter 1, God, who at sundry times and diverse manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And we can know that that speaking is as perfect as it could possibly be. It is perfection, and we can trust it with all of our hearts. So that we, that is you and I, so that we can speak from this infallible book with it in our hands and in our hearts. Now, some of you were here for Sunday school, and others of you missed that opportunity of worship. But let me remind you something I did in Sunday school. I showed you the faces of some men who are over there in in Uzbekistan, where I was ministering this last April with my son. And those men are among the most courageous and brave men in the world today, because they are holding forth the word of life, and they are great heroes so far as I am personally concerned. But there's a sense in which they're not heroes at all. They're not. They're just doing the most realistic thing there is, taking the Bible and explaining it to people in spite of the fact the authorities are liable to kill them. So what does that mean? Now, one of my students, Ahmed, an Uzbek, and a pastor over there, just about a year and 2 months ago, had his right leg broken by the KGB because they don't like the fact that he's preaching the Word of God. And there are others in that same group who are suffering similar kinds. Many of them have been beaten up just in the last couple of years. And then there's Sasha Bondar, whose name I mentioned earlier, who has been going back in there continuously. He lives in Ukraine most of the time now, but he continuously goes back under the threat of his life. And my son and I were able to sneak in there as tourists and stand alongside of him for a while. Now, let me tell you something, though. You go to Emmy Awards and Oscar Awards and things like that, and you see somebody winning the Pulitzer Prize. You know who I think ought to be nominated for those kind of awards? These kinds of people who are insignificant and forgotten in the vast world of things. But those men deserve great honor. And they are getting it up in heaven. They've got the headlines up here. I don't know who's got the headlines here. I can see that every day, whoever it is. And I won't get into politics, and I hope you don't feel like you have to either this morning. Because these are the heroes of our world today. These are the men who are really doing the job for God. And you see, when I say that, I'm talking to you as well as to them. I hope the Bible is to you exactly what I've just described it to be. An absolutely irresistible temptation to pick it up and explain it to anybody you can find. And show them the wonders of Jesus Christ and the glory of His power and the certainty of His coming rule and reign over the earth. He was a baby here as He's being described and as we saw at Christmas time. But He is now seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead, and to rule the universe. And we are His children, and we ought to have that filling our hearts with joy and delight. And as you come to the table of the Lord, realize you are feasting with the Lord. The Lord comes to this table, and you feast with Him. My last point, bow to the Holy Spirit for His work in us. The Holy Spirit is doing His work through the name of Jesus Christ, as the scripture here tells us. You are to give Him the name Jesus because He will save His people from their sins. His name will be Emmanuel, God with us. What is God doing as He is with us? He is saving us from our sins. Awesome reality. He didn't just save us from our sins back when we were converted, but He is continuing to save us from the present temptations we suffer and the present failings that we make. He is saving us from our sins. My friend, take courage in these words, these simple words of Scripture today. God is at work, giving us repentance from sin, giving us forgiveness for our sins, enabling us to forgive one another, creating communities of forgiveness. You know that's what you are? You're a community of God's forgiven people, and because you are supernaturally forgiven by God, it's a supernatural wonder. And don't forget that about what God has done in you. It is just as supernatural that you could be forgiven as the Holy Spirit could cause a baby to be born in the body of the virgin. It's a supernatural wonder. Never forget it and always thank God for it. And then because that supernatural wonder has happened in you, it is also happening in your community. No marriage can ever stay together apart from the forgiving grace of God. When people ask me, how could you be married for 51 years? I always tell them, well, because my wife is so good at forgiveness. That's why. And the Holy Spirit has worked a wonder in her heart. How could I stay 43 years at one church? Because my congregation was so good at forgiveness. We become a forgiving community of God's people, and it gives us the power and the strength to keep moving on down the path of life, going through all the struggles and trials that we inevitably have because we're in a fallen and sinful world. But God is enabling you. And you see, most of all, I want you to feel that He is enabling you not just to forgive and live as we are together, but to teach and preach the Word of God. I'll close with a song that has become my own testimony. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus found me. Out in the darkness, no light, no light, no light could I see. Oh, what a wonder, He put His great arms under. And wonder of wonders, He saved even me. Our great God, how we praise You for the forgiveness we have through our Lord Jesus Christ. How we praise You for the life we have together within the body of Jesus Christ and for the Lord's Supper we're about to receive. And we would pray that with all these high and glorious privileges, we will be especially equipped to be missionaries to our neighbors next door, to everyone we know and see. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Riverwood Presbyterian Church podcast. Please visit us on the web at riverwoodchurch.org.